Check podcasts.
The Center for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies, or COAST, welcomes you to COAST Talks, showcasing the people, ideas, businesses, and communities driving innovation in Pacific Canada's sustainable blue economy. Brought to you by the South Island Prosperity Partnership.
All right, welcome to COAST Talks podcast, a deep dive into the innovations driving BC's blue economy. My name is Jason Goldsworthy and I'm the Executive Director of COAST, the Centre for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies. We are Pacific Canada's hub for the blue economy and we support our members to research, start up and scale sustainable ocean innovation. On today's episode, we are chatting with Dan Schumer, Director of Product Development for Axis Technologies. Axis, based here in Sydney, so in the Greater Victoria region, is a leader in environmental monitoring and meta-ocean technology. And Dan's here to really tell us about all of what that means. Welcome, Dan.
Definitely. Yes, thank you very much.
It's great to have you on. I mean, we've sort of been in contact in the last little while, and I think it's great to hear a little bit more about Axis. So first of all, before we get into the details, tell us a little bit more about what Axis does. And a bit of an overview of the services and roles you play in the blue economy in the ocean sector.
Axis delivers metocean data collection systems and data services in the marine environment. We are an experienced team of metocean and systems integrators, we operate globally in several different marine industries. So some examples of that would be offshore wind or offshore construction, ports and harbors. Additionally, we serve metocean government networks, including Environment Canada here in country, as well as academic research institutions.
Okay. So what's the sort of core value that Axis follows on? You talk about data and systems integration, but what really drives Axis?
Sure. So I'm going to say quality, but I'm going to say that in a way that means something. And this is something that's very, very important to us, that we really hold our clients' objectives in mind from start to finish when we develop every component of our systems. And as we get into it, you'll understand that we do a little bit of everything in terms of different engineering disciplines. So that's really a core value for our entire team. That we all see sort of how we contribute toward that end objective of quality data.
So it's really quality in delivering your product to your clients and working with the clients and as a service provider.
That's right.
Fantastic. I mean, it's definitely something that's needed and warranted. So spinning that more into you personally, you're the Director of Product Development.
That's right.
What sort of are your primary roles and responsibilities with Axis?
Sure. So I lead the engineering team at Axis. So we have a diverse group of engineers that operate in mechanical design, electrical design, software, data analytics. So a really multi-talented group of individuals operate in the engineering team. And then I also lead the product development function at Axis. So that developing the new technologies that are aimed at meeting our clients' objectives.
How big's the team, roughly?
So my team is about 15 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sizable.
And yep. Sounds pretty multidisciplinary too.
Yes.
Like I think when people think the ocean, they think mechanical, but there's a big electrical component and controls component as well, especially when collecting data like this.
It's huge. Yes. Yeah. Ultimately, we're the mechanical team's focused on protecting those electronic components and really driving value from the sensing technology that's on the platform.
So, I mean, Axis has been successful, and we'll get into a little bit about the history, but, you know, Axis has been around for a long time. It's been very successful. What do you think, from your perspective, separates Axis from, say, some of their competitors and made that success come true?
Yeah, so I would say our experience. We are a 50-year-old company. We're just coming on our 50th year now. So over those 50 years, we've had a plethora of different experiences that we've learned from every single one of those, and those include things that have gone really well and things that we've learned from a mistake or some way we could deliver systems that are better. So it's that experience and the combined and sort of the knowledge of the team where we're at right now.
Yeah, it takes a lot of knowledge and different perspectives, I presume, over 50 years. There's a lot of different experiences going through. And right. I think that's what people sometimes forget is that experience is so important in the environment that we work in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to a little bit more about some of the specific technology, the technical innovations at Axis as well. And one of the things I think Axis has been known for, and it's something that definitely I got introduced to Axis about 10 years ago, was about wave measurement. Mm-hmm. and how you've been able to sort of pioneer or work in that space where you can measure those waves. How do your innovations at Axis really enhance the ability of that measurement? For laymen like me, it's easy. That wave's 3 foot high, but it's a lot more than involved in that. So maybe if you can just share a little bit about that.
Sure, it's a holistic approach. At the end of the day, you have to look at the entire system in it together, and how to when you're taking measurements in the ocean and how they support that measurement. So wave measurement is one of those end goals, but our platforms actually produce many different data sets. Wave sensor, in the specific case of wave sensor, that's technology that and a sensor that we've developed ourselves research from the National Research Council of Canada, and we commercialized that and into what we call the Traxys wave sensor and platform. I think this is we are looking at sort of how a sensor is affected by the platform, and for a wave sensor, we need to make sure that platform's moving with the waves. That is affected by the platform itself. It's affected by the mooring system that it's connected to. You could look at the potential effects of the power quality to that sensor, and it's a highly multifaceted challenge to sort of optimize the whole entire platform for the set of measurements and how you deliver that to the client.
Actually, as we're just talking here, I'm actually thinking in my head, like the old wave devices were fixed, right? And they measured with different the heights based on fixed, but all of the devices that Axis, as far as I know, are floating. So obviously the mooring you mentioned, is all of that has to be calibrated to actually figure out. And yeah, it sounds like a very dynamic problem.
Definitely, definitely. And I'll give a plug for DSA and ProDSDS. We use their systems to model the moorings, but across each of our sort of the measurements we're taking on this platform, we really have to take that holistic approach.
And we talk about data collection, and I think a lot of people think, okay, well, that's we get the data and then it's done, right? Like, okay, that wave was 3 meters high, or the wind was so many knots. But it goes into a whole, and you mentioned an integrated system, and I think there's a lot of work that you are working on about onboard processing and how that's happened at the time to really provide value to the clients. Maybe explain a little bit more about how that works for the clients.
So our onboard data collection systems really sort of built for or core building block in sort of serving this overall integrated system. Mm-hmm. It's important that we are leveraging its ability to store data. Mm-hmm. We're taking data from sensors and backing that up in multiple places on the platform. We use edge processing on that device to sort of compress and look at sort of take the raw data and extract what's sort of the most important. If we have a sort of limited bandwidth to send that data out from the platform, and we have multiple sort of means of egress of getting that data off of the platform and sending it to our cloud environment.
So you're talking about edge computing.
Yeah.
How has you know, that's the advancements in technology and edge computing, Internet of Things. How's that improved your efficiency, especially when it comes to real-time monitoring? Like how we've seen that progression over the last, you know, decade, two decades, or further, but how's that really improving your efficiency and effectiveness now?
Yeah, so that's actually something we pioneered maybe 25 years ago when we first made our data logging systems. You couldn't go out and get this technology. It wasn't so readily available. So we've developed those systems over many years, and we've been able to sort of optimize and take sort of the progression of the technology, the cloud technology, and sort of adopt that where it makes sense, and keep our existing older systems where those made more sense. So the IoT movement has really sort of reinforced a lot of what we were doing already. And we've made adjustments here and there, and we've adopted new technologies here and there where it really makes sense to do it. But the overall approach is sort of very much coming into alignment with where you see the entire industry going, for IoT industry going.
And you talked about cloud, and I presume a lot of this stuff is available for people in different areas, and you talk about different client bases. I'm showing with the cloud now, is, you know, that expands your potential client base.
Yes. And it's the same thing. It's the same situation off the platform. So we developed client server monolithic applications many years ago that we've had to revamp and reinvent in the cloud environment. And now we have cloud technologies that combine the best of both worlds.
Okay. Now we're going to get even more technical.
Okay.
LiDAR.
Yes.
Now, I've come across LiDAR in survey environments, but could you walk us through, especially Axis's process or Axis's journey, from conceptualizing floating LiDAR to where it's being used now? And maybe because I'm going to get it wrong, maybe explain what LiDAR is as well.
Okay. Well, LiDAR itself is light ranging and detection. But in this context, we're using LiDAR to measure the wind. And I'm going to step back here and sort of describe what wind profiling measurements mean to the offshore wind industry, because that's what we developed this technology for. So before floating LiDAR, the offshore wind industry used turbine bases with met mast, a very tall met mast, to gather wind speed, a profile of wind speed across the sort of the planned blade span of a wind turbine. And they'd put these out on offshore wind development site in the hopes that the resource was what they expected it to be. And at great cost, because it costs a lot of money to put a wind turbine base out there, especially if you don't know if the project is a solid go. So the offshore wind industry needs these really detailed wind profiles, we saw the opportunity with the use of LiDAR on land for the onshore wind industry to take that technology, put it on a floating platform, and make measurements offshore. Sounds easy.
Yeah, sounds easy. I've got ideas thinking this is not going to work easily. Yeah.
So we did that. It was back in 2009. We were first in the water with this combination of technology, just off here, off of Race Rocks here, in 2009, it's been quite a journey to take that technology to market.
Because I think this is fascinating. I mean, it's taking a technology that exists in elsewhere for another purpose, and then the onshore wind, and then adopting it. And as you said, it's not easy. So how do you convince the stakeholders, or how do you work through the issues that the stakeholders might have about being reluctant or skeptical about how this works. How do you convince them that this is a great idea?
Well, certainly, and especially for a data set that is of such high value and importance, that process of convincing an entire industry to go in this direction is a big task. Mm. So you start with proof of concept. Mm-hmm. We put a system out with a LiDAR on it and demonstrated that and published those results, demonstrated to the industry that this is possible. Mm-hmm. And on the technical side, we took those learnings and we built on them and improved mm-hmm. the systems, found where the gaps were and continued to work on those. And on the industry side, we worked with the people who could use this data, and with just being stubborn about the pitch that there's a lot of value here. You could save a lot of money by going in this direction, mm-hmm. and that we can provide this data at equal or higher data quality. So, that process, it took us from 2009 maybe to 2015 before it really started getting commercial traction in that field. So,
and I'm correct to say that these are deployed around the world now.
That it is the de facto way that you measure wind for an offshore wind site is using floating LiDAR.
And I think we're all aware that the offshore wind industry is growing. I mean, there's a lot of interest in Atlantic Canada for offshore wind. I know there's been some discussion off the West Coast, especially in the US.
Yep.
So this is an industry that's going to keep growing.
Yep. Yep. And it's been a wild ride, and really interesting to provide this data for the industry as it moves around the globe. So we started with systems in Europe mm-hmm. and systems in the East Coast of the U.S., in Taiwan and Japan and Korea, and it continues to expand around the world. So,
I just want to go back because there's a couple of bits of this story of the Axis story I love, but I want to give people an appreciation of what these buoys are like. I've been lucky enough to, I think it's the Sentinel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The Wind Sentinel. Yep.
Yeah, and these are huge. Like, these are not just small buoys you see mm-hmm. in the water. They are large vessels or large buoys that are manufactured here in Sydney.
That's right.
And then shipped around the world. So maybe just give a bit of an update of a summary of the different types, like going from the Triaxis right up to the Ocean Sentinel.
Yeah, for sure. So we have, like I was saying before, we have a number of different platforms, mm-hmm. and those platforms are what we use to integrate the different sensors. Mm-hmm. And LiDAR, for example, has a very large power requirement. Mm-hmm. So one of the key components is a stable platform that can supply power to these mm-hmm. sensors reliably for over a year. And mm-hmm. sometimes these campaigns can go on for 2 years. Mm. So the scale of that platform is a 6-meter by 3-meter, what's called a Nomad hull. Mm-hmm. This is a buoy design that dates back to the 50s, mm-hmm. and that Axis has onboarded and refined ourselves. So,
yeah.
So that's one end of the scale. The other end of the scale is a very small buoy. Mm-hmm. You can down to a 0.6 meters mm-hmm. is our smallest platform. You can support a number of measurements from such a small platform as well. And mm-hmm. So we operate at both ends of these scales, mm-hmm. and they're sort of really it allows us to optimize the measurements we're taking by moving between these different platforms. So,
and I think that the story I love about it is that you're constantly innovating, right? Like, so LiDAR you talked about in 2009.
Yeah.
Started out, but the company had been around for 40 years, 30 years before that. So all of a sudden new technology comes, meets a new industry. So the Axis story is a fantastic story of these companies that keep innovating. I assume that's what keeps you getting up in the morning and being the director of product development. There's new concepts coming out
exactly.
all the time.
Yeah.
So what, saying that, I know it's hard to look ahead, but looking ahead,
yep.
Where do you see some of the opportunities for Axis in the future?
Yeah, definitely. So like you say, we've got these platforms and mm-hmm. they are just sitting there ready for new capabilities to be added onto them. And so we're constantly evaluating different sensors that we might move to and expanding sort of the measurement capabilities. And this can be in areas of environmental monitoring. Mm-hmm. So we already have systems on these platforms that measure birds and bats and acoustic coupled the deployments are coupled with acoustic sensors that are monitoring whales. Mm-hmm. There's lots of opportunity in that direction. Physical oceanographic measurements. There's sort of new sensors every day that we're looking to see if they can provide value to our client base.
So, in terms of all these new innovations, what excites you the most about what you think could be not necessarily a transformative change, but the next step change in technology around this data collection sensing?
Definitely. So we are looking at sort of adding new capabilities onto our existing platforms. We just came out with a new platform
a new release that we can talk about?
Or? Yes, definitely.
we'll get onto that one.
But we have a sort of the set of platforms that we can be plugging in new capabilities. Mm-hmm. Example of that could be around avian radar systems on a buoy, yep. or advanced camera systems on a buoy.
Yeah.
These are sort of a couple examples of new capabilities that we're looking at. Advanced data analytics is another area. So, taking a look at the data we have already and driving further insights out of those. So in the offshore wind example, we are refining our ability to measure turbulence intensity from the wind speed. The turbulence intensity is a really important parameter for design of offshore wind. Ensuring that the turbine design is fit for the turbulence at a particular site. Further to that, we're looking at taking existing capabilities mm-hmm. and driving them down in scale for power and size, so that those existing sensing technologies can be utilized more efficiently. So
To what extent does power be a constraint? I mean, you mentioned about LiDAR earlier being very power hungry, mm-hmm. but what to the extent of the sensors you can put on and the buoy and the platform, how much it can take, is power a major consideration?
Oh, definitely. It's a building block. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got a number of sort of core things that a sensor needs to be supported, and that a core building block of that is your ability to power it. Mm-hmm. On small refined sensors that have been optimized by other industries, this can be fairly straightforward. Mm. But with larger sensors that are being brought into the space or that have really long ranges and sort of other pressures that are pushing up the power usage, you need a larger power bank.
And you mentioned earlier about taking existing or previous data that you collected, mm-hmm. and this is something I didn't know about Axis, but how much to a degree do you actually process that data? Is it a way of demonstrating the value of collecting that?
I guess I'd couple that into what we do in terms of edge processing. Mm-hmm. The same algorithms that we're running on the platforms, mm-hmm. we can run in post-processing, and that's certainly a direction that we've been going in, and mm-hmm. Data analytics has a lot of growth potential for us as well.
And more on the, you know, you're not turning into your own client really, but you're using that as a way of demonstrating value.
That's so right, yeah.
I can see, and it sort of leads me into kind of a question. I mean, it's my next question, which is not so much with two steps. One is people that are interested in MetaOcean and data collection and that, what sort of advice would you give them getting into this sector? But also on the flip side, there's a lot of interest out there. People love the ocean. People mm-hmm. are really interested in what it is. So sure. What are the skill sets that you can see for the future that are important in this sector? Like, is it data analysis? Is it computing power? Is it IoT? What are some of the skill sets that Axis are looking for in people as they come through? So two wow. steps to that question. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. start with the second one first on what sort of people you're looking for.
Yeah, so I think it's individuals that can operate across multiple disciplines and sort of have that awareness of sort of how a decision or design in one area could affect another. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking specifically here about the design of systems. Yep. We've got many different functions at Axis that require different skill sets. Yes. So if you're interested in ocean technology and there's a place for you at Axis most likely.
Given that, I mean, that's great that people come in, but I mean, just generally people that are getting into this sector, I mean, what's some of your advice that you could give from your experience and background?
Yeah. So experience matters. Make those connections with the people that have experience. Networking is really important. Understanding sort of the limits of what you do and don't know will help you sort of make that value proposition really strong. So networking is huge. Stay curious and stay up to date with the new technologies. So that's not so much for people that are just graduating, but looking at individuals that might be transferring from another line of work. Targeting practical hands-on experience. So whether that's through project work or a co-op or this type of experience that can be very valuable in sort of making connection between your sort of education and industry.
And Axis has been a success story. I mean, it's, you know, we celebrate Axis a lot. You know, 50 years global presence, still innovating today. But for new companies coming through, I mean, what is some of the, you know, it's obviously a lot of transferable, what you just talked about, the professionals, but what have been some of the key metrics to success that you've seen that Axis is very good at? You talked about quality early on. Is it client facing? Is it, what were the key recipes or the that you saw from that makes Axis very successful?
Yeah, it's ultimately comes back to those client needs and sort of really understanding why they want a particular measurement, what insight they're driving from that measurement, and working with them to optimize a solution that fits. Making sure that the solution's tailored to their needs. This is something we're going to continue to do. It's working, and we will continue down that path. We're going to continue to look for those sort of new capabilities like the floating LiDAR and changing an industry. These types of opportunities and expanding in the spaces where we're already operating. There's a lot of opportunity there as well.
So looking forward 5 years from a product development side, what can you see being the big thing that Axis is into? And you don't have to give it away because obviously people are going to, you know, there's competitors out there. But what do you think is the 5-year vision for product development with Axis?
I think that's more of what I just mentioned.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's
can't give away too much. You know, there's lots of secret things happening.
We've got a very long list of new innovations that we're weighing which is the right play because we have limited time and focus and we want to make sure with anything that we do that we do it well. Mm. That when we're developing a roadmap, that's sort of at the forefront, is this the right development? Because with the existing base that we've got, we could go in many directions, but keeping that focus is really important.
And I guess on that as well, I mean, you did talk about the base. There is, you know, this really solid base with Axis, and it gives you the ability to mm-hmm. to explore in different areas. Mm-hmm. How do you, like, that base is very much a global market.
That's right.
And your base of operations is in Sydney in British Columbia. How does that, is there any pressures there that, you know, global reach and stuff like that, or you found it very successful to have a base here?
Yeah, I would say that we're already distributed to some extent. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, we acquired a company that gave us a foothold in, mm-hmm. in Europe to move in that direction. Our executive is in the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. in the US, yeah. Yeah. In Canada here. So, we have, teams around the world in different operating theaters that we, closely partner with that allow us to work in other countries really effectively.
And I think that's it's a good story for us and for Coast and the companies we're trying to support and bring up, is that you can have operations here, you can work in a global environment, and mm-hmm. the success of Axis is a testament to that. So, Dan, thank you so much. It's been fascinating. I love hearing about Axis and what you guys are up to, and I encourage people to learn more about Axis, because it is one of the great success stories of ocean technology in British Columbia. And check out those buoys or the platforms. They are massive and they're just fantastic to watch. Dan, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to our listeners for joining us on Coast Talks. If you'd like to learn more about our work, visit our website at canadacoast.ca or follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Bye for now.